Today's message is power to pass it on. Power to pass it on. I just want to kind of recap last week's message. Last week we talked about resurrection life in celebration of Easter. Last week we talked about resurrection life in celebration of Easter. And our main scripture of study was Ephesians 1 verses 17 through 20. Ephesians 1 verses 17 through 20. I want to read those real quick. And it says this, Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. So Paul writes this. He says, I pray that you would know, you would experience God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That word power in the original language is dunamis. Dunamis means force, specifically miraculous power. He says, I pray that you would know and experience God's incomparably great dunamis, miraculous working power for us who believe. And he describes this power. That power is like the working of God's mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised them from the dead. In other words, Paul is writing to the Ephesians and to us that this dunamis power of God has the ability to raise dead situations back to life. And there may be a dead area in your life, and I'm here to tell you today that God can raise it back to life. We serve a miracle-working God. Is that good news? The key to experiencing God's dunamis power in your life, the key to experiencing God's miraculous working power in your life is faith. Faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, and faith in God, knowing that you know, deep down on the inside, that God can bring about a miracle in your life, that God can resurrect and bring back to life that seemingly dead dream in your life. Is that good news? All right. God can do it for you. God can give you a breakthrough. God can turn it around. Did you know also that God can give you the power to step out of yourself and pass a blessing along to someone else who is in greater need than you? Today's message is power to pass it on. Let me say it again. God can give you the power, his supernatural power, to step out of yourself and pass a blessing onto someone who is in greater need than you are. You know, a lot of times it takes supernatural strength to step out of ourselves. And you might feel today like you're just so stuck in yourself, so unable to go forward out of yourself to help somebody else. But guess what? We serve a God who can give you the power to reach out beyond yourself. Amen? All right. Think about this. The mark of a maturing Christian is one who steps out of himself to serve another. Let me say it again. The mark of a maturing Christian is somebody who steps out of himself or herself to serve another human being. Think about it in the natural. A two-year-old, right? A two-year-old, a toddler, is the center of its own world, right? It's about me, myself, and I. Most two-year-olds cannot think outside of themselves, right? But a mature adult does what? As opposed to a toddler. A mature adult serves his family. A mature and responsible adult will serve his family. Is that making sense today? It's the same way spiritually. A spiritual two-year-old is all about himself or herself. Me, myself, and I. What can I get from God? What can I get from being a Christian? But guess what, friends? A maturing Christian, an adult Christian, passes on his blessing. He serves the less fortunate. A maturing Christian steps out of himself to bless somebody else. And it's a sad state of affair in the church that there's people out there that say, man, I've been a Christian 10 years, I've been a Christian 20 years, I've been a Christian 30 years, but they're all about themselves. It's me, myself, and I. right? People that have been in the church for many years that are still baby Christians. And then there are those Christians who are mature that are growing into adulthood that reach out beyond themselves. And that needs to be you and me. Amen? Is that good news? All right, let's read Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. Let's see what Jesus says about this subject. The power to bless, pass the blessing on. Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. It says this, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.'" Verse 22. "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." In the world's way of thinking, a person who is great, a person who has power, just wields that power, right? They tell this person, do this and do that and do the other thing, and they're just stepping all over people. But Jesus said, it's not like this in my kingdom. Jesus says what? He says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to be the servant of all. And then Jesus says it in verse 28. He says what? He says, the Son of Man. We know that the Son of Man is the greatest in the kingdom of God, right? And he didn't come to be served. He came to this earth to serve and to give his life. And so who is our model for everyday living? What does John write in 1 John 1:6? He says, whoever claims to live in him, in Christ, must walk as Jesus did. The walk of Jesus was a walk of what? It was a walk of love. It was a walk of servanthood. The kingdom of God is upside down. If you want to be first, if you want to be great, you've got to serve. You've got to give your life away. Sad to say that in the world, those who are not part of the kingdom of God say, if you want to be great, if you want to climb the ladder, you've got to just take advantage of people. You've got to step on them. Not so with God, not so with Christ, right? If you want to be great, if you want to be first, you've got to lay your life down like Jesus did, and you've got to serve somebody who is in greater need than yourself. You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, you know what? I'm here at the shelter. I'm in such great need myself. Guess what? There's somebody out there in greater need than you today. There is somebody tonight that is going to sleep under a bridge. You've got the shelter. There's somebody out there today in downtown Tulsa who hasn't eaten a meal for 2 or 3 days. They provide awesome meals every night here at 6:30, right? So friend, there is somebody out there in greater need than you. Now I want to read you something from the speaker's quote book. And you might want to listen to this. It's pretty interesting. At 5:50 one morning, Jim Belasco arrived at Houston's Methodist Hospital to interview a renowned heart surgeon, Dr. Michael DeBakey, before his first operation of the day. Walking down the hall, he met a hospital worker mopping the corridor to the operating room. The worker was singing, and so Belasco asked the reason for his happiness. "Me and the doc are saving lives," was the astounding response. What a beautiful expression of partnership. His mop helped prepare the clean environment in which the great surgeon would wield his scalpel. It's about serving others, right? Listen to this. At the close of life, the question will not be how much you have got, but how much you have given. Not how much you have won, but how much you have done. Not how much you have saved, but how much you have sacrificed. Not how much you were honored, but how much you have served at the end of life. I want to hear God say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. How about you? Anybody here today want to hear God say that? Well, if we want to hear God say to us at the when we leave this earth and enter heaven, we want to hear God say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We've got to step out of ourselves and serve others. Is that making sense? All right, serving others, passing on the blessing. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Let's see what Jesus says. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. Verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. What did Jesus say? Jesus said in Matthew 25, 40, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Guess what, friend? When you touch somebody in greater need than yourself with the love of God, you are touching Jesus Himself. That person in need, that person who needs your serve, who needs your service, is Jesus in disguise. And when you touch that person with the love of God, you're touching the very heart of God Himself. You are touching Jesus Christ, God the Son. Why is it that when you touch somebody with the love of God, when you serve somebody with God's love, that you're touching God Himself? That you're touching Jesus? Why is that? It's found in Genesis 1:27. Because everybody is made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. You. Everybody in this room is made in the image of God. Everybody listening is made in the image of God, from north to south, east to west. Every single person of the 6 billion plus people on this earth are made in the image of God. What does that mean, to be made in the image of God? It means that part of God is on the inside of everybody. In a figurative sense, everybody on this earth is flesh of God's flesh and bone of His bone. When you touch that person with the love of God, you're touching God Himself. You're doing it for Jesus Himself. Remember, that person sleeping under the bridge, that person needing lunch, that person needing help changing a flat tire, that person needing a visit in prison or in the hospital, is Jesus in disguise. Say it with me. The people I serve are Jesus in disguise. Amen. Friend, if God has blessed you in any of the ways Jesus spoke about in Matthew 25, 35 to 36, then pass on the blessing. And guess what? Guess what? Jesus, God, has blessed you. At the shelter, when you were hungry, you got something to eat here. When you were thirsty, you got something to drink here. You may be a stranger at one point, but now you've got people surrounding you here. All right? Maybe you needed clothing, and the shelter provided you clothing. Maybe you were sick, and the shelter looked after you medically. Maybe you were in prison, and somebody visited you. And at this shelter, God has blessed you in a number of ways. Don't keep that blessing to yourself. Pass it on. Serve somebody else in greater need than yourself. Is that making sense? Maybe you were depressed at one time. Maybe you were in emotional turmoil, depressed, in turmoil in your mind, and God gave you peace and joy in your emotions by somebody who came into your life and spoke and encouraged you. Don't keep that to yourself. Find somebody who's depressed. Find somebody who is in turmoil and bless them in the same way that God blessed you. Maybe you were at odds with somebody in the past and you needed reconciliation, and God sent somebody across your path to reconcile that relationship that was broken in your life. And maybe today you find somebody who's got a broken relationship with somebody else. Don't just keep it to yourself. Pass on the blessing. Become a reconciler, a peacemaker. Is that making sense? Maybe at one time you were in great financial seed where you didn't even have a penny to your name. But maybe now today you've got some money to your name. God blessed you in some way. Don't keep the blessing to yourself. Pass that blessing on to somebody else. Is that making sense? Serving other people. And God will give you, remember this, God will give you His supernatural power to step out of yourself and bless somebody else. It's not always easy to step out of yourself. It takes a dying to self. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, Jesus said it. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, if you want to be first in the kingdom of God, you have got to serve and give your life for others, just like Jesus did. You'll find no satisfaction in this life just living for yourself. It's the most miserable life for a person who just lives for themselves, just thinking about themselves. You've been blessed here at the shelter. You've been blessed in other ways. Think about the ways that God has blessed you. Don't keep it to yourself, but pass it on. Say it with me today. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm going to pass it on. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read you one more thing from the speaker's quote book. Pretty interesting. It says this. The great violinist Niccolo Paganini willed his marvelous violin to Genoa, the city of his birth, but only on the condition that the instrument never be played. It was an unfortunate condition, for it is a peculiarity of wood that as long as it is used and handled, it shows little wear. As soon as it is discarded, it begins to decay. The exquisite mellow-toned violin has become worm-eaten in its beautiful case, valueless except as a relic. The moldering instrument is a reminder that a life withdrawn from all service to others loses its meaning. And friend, if you're not serving somebody else in small ways or big ways, doesn't always have to be big, it could be a lot of small little things that you do for people. If you're not serving in little ways, people in greater need than yourself, your life loses meaning. But what great satisfaction, happiness on the inside there is when you step out beyond yourself with God's power to serve somebody else. And did you know, friend, that we'll take only two things into eternity with us? You know what those two things are? Two things you'll take into heaven with you one day. Just two things. Your relationship with Christ, number one. And number two, your relationship with Christ, and number two, what? What you did for others, the service you rendered to others, the love of God you demonstrated to other people, the people you helped lead into relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only two things you'll take into eternity, your relationship with Christ and the good you did for others while on this earth. Doesn't matter how many books you read, how many books you may have written, how much you saved up in your bank accounts, how big your house was, how nice your boat was, how nice your car was, what a great spouse you had. You'll take none of those into eternity, but only two things. Your walk with Christ and the good you did for others. Jesus said it. For as much as we've done it to the least of these, we've done it to Jesus Himself. And when you find somebody in need and you just pass them by and don't stop to help them, you're passing Jesus by. And what did Jesus say? For as much as you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. And the sad thing is, Jesus says on that day, when you pass by and don't serve somebody in need, those people will go to eternal punishment. But the righteous who stepped out of themselves to serve somebody else will go to eternal what? will enter eternal life. I want to be there one day. How about you? I want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How about you? Amen? So I encourage you this week, find somebody out there in greater need than you. Be perceptive. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind sharp. Look for instances, situations where you could reach out to somebody. Be it buying them a cup of coffee, lunch at Quick Trip, helping change somebody's tire. You know, somebody who's lonely, doesn't have any friends, just spending 30 minutes with that person. Speaking encouraging words into that person's life. Just find those situations. God is recording them all. He's recording all the good that you do to others. And your reward in heaven will be great one day when this body dies. Is that good? I encourage you, friends. Let's expand our world, our horizon, our thinking beyond ourselves to serving others.